This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today we are speaking with once again Lori Narona, an award-winning herbalist, certified acne specialist, licensed esthetician since 1997, and an educator of oncology spa solutions. Skin wellness is her passion, and on this interview, we will be covering the care and feeding of sensitive skin. A great topic, and Lori, welcome back to eHealth Radio.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
And certainly our pleasure to have you back. So tell us, statistics show that 44.6% of people report having sensitive skin. What does sensitive skin actually look like?
Well, first of all, anyone can get irritated skin now and then, but actual sensitive skin gets red or pink very easily, is generally quite dry to the point that the nerve endings in the skin are irritated, which results in bumps or rashes, itching, erosions, and sometimes pain. Anyone can have sensitive skin, and even though it's more common in very light-skinned individuals, people with very dark skin can be quite sensitive as well. Ultimately, sensitive skin is a result of an impaired barrier. The skin's main function is as a barrier to moisture loss, to bacteria, to injury. When that barrier is chronically compromised, the skin will become quite sensitive. As far as a barrier, I think of it like a brick wall. So the bricks being the individual cells in the wall, and the mortar in between the bricks as being the intercellular glue. So if the bricks on your skin, if you will, are damaged or injured, or if the mortar interlocking those bricks, the cells, if you will, is subpar for whatever reason, the wall crumbles or the barrier crumbles. So it's really important to maintain that healthy barrier.
Lori, if you would, tell us some of the triggers for sensitive skin.
Absolutely. Some of the most common triggers include extreme changes in temperature. For example, being outside shoveling the snow in freezing weather and then going inside to stand in front of a blazing fire, or vice versa, being outside in extreme heat and then going inside and putting your face right in front of an air conditioning cooler blowing on you. It feels amazing, but it can be quite challenging to that barrier. Another concern is very high or very low humidity. I'm sure that some of your audience has experienced heat rash or prickly heat, which is that really itchy, uncomfortable, bumpy rash that you can get when you've been out in very hot weather. There's also the opposite, which is xerosis, which is extremely dry, flaky skin. A lot of people will experience that in the cold weather months, or if they're outside quite a bit in the wintertime, skiing, sports, you know, winter sports and such. Xerosis can be problematic. Again, in both of these concerns, the barrier is compromised. That wall has been compromised. There's either too much water, so from the humidity, or there's not enough lipid content in the barrier, so there's not enough oil. And a healthy barrier is made up of a balance of oil and water. Forced hot air heat is another issue. So I'm here in New England, and in the wintertime, when the heat goes on, there's forced hot air heat, and it literally draws moisture from the skin into the surrounding air. It's just basic osmosis, and our skin, because it's mostly water and oil, if it doesn't have a healthy balance, the water is literally pulled right out, which can result in that extremely dry skin, which will exacerbate a sensitive skin across the board. Fragrance is another big trigger. In fact, it's the number one most common irritant. over-cleansing, over-scrubbing the skin, like spending too long in a hot shower, or if you're going to be outside for a long period of time, not protecting the skin. Again, here in New England, we often have put a thin layer of Vaseline on the cheeks if you're going to be out in very, very brutal cold winter. Wearing a face mask, if necessary, the balaclava face masks, because the exposure to the environment is really a big trigger. And also, in general, the use of very aggressive skincare, or I guess aggressive products in general, can be very problematic for sensitive skin.
Tell us what you mean by aggressive products. Take that a little further.
So many of our everyday personal care products contain very harsh exfoliants, like apricot kernels or walnut shells or diatomaceous earth, alpha hydroxy acids, peels, enzymes, microdermabrasion, things like that. These products and treatments actually create micro tears in the skin, and they compromise the barrier further. So they rip up the bricks, if you will, and they damage or compromise the mortar in between the cells. And when you've done that, you allow more irritants to enter the skin, which furthers a reaction. So making sure that you're not scrubbing too harshly, or just don't be rough with the skin. You have to give it time to heal and give it a chance to, you know, stay healthy. It takes about 28 days when you're young for the skin to maintain that healthy barrier. So for example, someone goes into a salon and gets a peel, and then they go home a few days later and they use a microdermabrasion, or they use an alpha hydroxy acid on their skin. The skin will require 28 days to heal from that initial peel. So you need to give the skin a chance to recover. So using these products are not necessarily bad, but if you already have sensitive skin, it's going to make it worse. And if you overuse those aggressive products even more, you're doubly creating damage, because the skin never gets a chance to repair itself. So it needs at minimum that 28 days. But if you're constantly using aggressive products, you're never giving it a chance, and it will never catch up, and it will be chronically compromised, which means chronic itchiness, irritation, dryness, redness, flaking, peeling.
Today we are joined by Lori Narona, an award-winning herbalist, certified acne specialist, and licensed esthetician since 1997, and an educator for Oncology Spa Solutions here on eHealth Radio's Health News and Skincare Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now tell us, Lori, what is the best way to care for this kind of skin?
Well, the most important thing, as I've mentioned, is really maintaining a healthy barrier. So if the barrier has been compromised, we want to look at barrier repair. So the most important things is just care for the skin gently every day. So very gentle cleansing. We recommend using a betaine-based cleanser that's from coconut oil. Not coconut oil itself directly, but a coconut-based cleanser. You really want to avoid sulfates, as they can be quite drying. So those would be things like sodium lauryl sulfate and sodium laureth sulfate. They're drying to the skin. If they're left on the skin, they're actually comedogenic and can be quite irritating. You want to use very warm, not hot water to cleanse. So avoid very hot or prolonged showers. Avoid using very cold water on the skin. It can be actually a little bit irritating, especially if the skin's very hot. So again, there's that intense change in temperature. If it's very, very hot out, you want to come in and take a cold shower because it cools you down, it feels good, but it damages the barrier. Do a cool shower. Do a warm shower. I know that avoiding hot showers or prolonged showers is a challenge during cold weather, but it really, really helps to keep that barrier healthy. Also, you want to make sure that you moisturize the skin immediately after washing, while the skin is still damp. This will actually help the skin absorb and retain more of that moisture. Think of it like a sponge. If you've ever tried to wipe up a mess with a dry sponge, nothing absorbs. But as soon as you wet that sponge and squeeze it out, it sucks up everything. So it's similar in the skin. Once the skin is damp, it will absorb more moisture. If you put moisturizer on an already dry skin, it doesn't absorb as well if the skin's already damp. So definitely make sure you take advantage of that magic window right after a shower and moisturize really well. One of the things that works great for people who have really, really dry skin is to apply a body oil, or I know it sounds a little bit messy, but a can of full-fat coconut milk in a bath, a warm bath. And it can be a little messy, and you have to be careful because it makes the tub a little bit slippery. But a can of full-fat coconut milk right in that tub and then soak in it for about 10 to 15 minutes. Don't go over 20 minutes in a tub. That actually draws moisture out of the skin. But 10 to 15 minutes makes the skin so soft and so hydrated, and it's a great way to calm irritated, sensitive skin. And also, you know, in addition to your gentle cleansing and keeping the skin moisturized, you really want to make sure that you're practicing safe sun. So make sure you're wearing sunscreen. Again, it's so important to keep the skin protected and prevent additional irritation.
Also, Lori, are there products or ingredients that are helpful to use?
Absolutely. Some of the wonderful ingredients that you can look for would include hyaluronic acid. Hyaluronic acid is actually naturally occurring in the skin, and it's responsible for attracting and holding moisture in our skin. In fact, it holds approximately 1,000 times its weight in water. This is actually one of the reasons why when women are menopausal, their skin feels drier. Estrogen controls the production of hyaluronic acid in the skin. So when estrogen levels drop, so do hyaluronic acid levels drop, and therefore moisture levels drop. So using a topical hyaluronic acid can be extremely helpful in helping to keep skin feel moist and hydrated. Shea butter is another wonderful emollient. It's available in all kinds of products. It is not safe for acne skin, but it's wonderful for irritated, sensitive, inflamed skin. Just put it on. It acts like a lock to hold moisture. Inishi oil or jojoba oil. Look for ceramides in your products. Look for actually cholesterol. To really repair a compromised barrier, it's really important to feed the skin from the inside out as well. So include lots of healthy fats in the diet, like avocado, olive oil, walnuts, and eat a rainbow for the antioxidants and to reduce the lipid peroxidation. So the essential fats that are in your skin to help keep them healthy so that they don't they don't go sour, if you will, and just it helps to keep everything functioning better and healthy.
Well, Lori, always super information, most helpful, and we can't thank you enough. In conclusion, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, or a final tip for the listeners today?
Absolutely. Well, remember that sensitive skin needs a sensitive hand. So limit any kind of exfoliation of any kind to no more than one time per week. So don't use those scrubs every day. I don't care if it says you can use them every day. Don't. Just once a week is good if you have sensitive skin. Make sure that you're using enough product on your skin so that you're moving the product and not your face. So if you're applying moisturizer on your skin and you're pushing so much that you're making smooshy faces, you're not using enough moisturizer, use more. Make sure you're moisturizing your body and your face. If your body skin is not hydrated, no matter what's going on in your face, you can put the best moisturizers you have, but it's not going to penetrate. Moisturize everything. And following an anti-inflammatory diet will really help across the board. And, of course, you want to make sure that you see a professional if you need help. And if your skin is chronically irritated or sensitive, you know, really take a good look at what you're doing. And if necessary, see your doctor.
And thanks so much for those concluding remarks. Lori, where can listeners get all the details on Oncology Spy Solutions, and how could one be in touch as well?
So we can be found on Facebook at Provident Skin. Our business is actually Veriditas Beautiful Skin Therapies, but our nickname on Facebook is Provident Skin. We're on Instagram at Wicked Good Skin, and you're always welcome to visit our website at veriditas.skincaretherapy.net or give us a call at the office, and I believe our link is in the bio.
Lori, as always, great to have you. Thanks so much for taking another moment to be with us here today on eHealth Radio, and certainly look forward to our next conversation.
Thanks so much, Eric. It's a pleasure being here.
Once again, we've been speaking with Lori Narona, an award-winning herbalist, certified acne specialist, licensed esthetician since 1997, and an educator for Oncology Spa Solutions. And to learn more, simply visit OncologySpaSolutions.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.